But first, the National Cabinet announced that there will be a new system for the childcare sector. Minister Dan Tehan has said that all will be able to access childcare basically without cost during the coronavirus crisis.
So the hope is that now all parents who need will get the care they want, and those who have sought to disengage from the childcare sector will re-engage with the sector.
I caught up with Professor Warren Hogan, former ANZ Chief Economist and now UTS Business School Executive in Residence, to look at the ramifications of the extraordinary stimulus measures announced this week. Warren Hogan, today the PM announced a package to support childcare. How big is this and is it going to work?
Well, the numbers are pretty small, actually, compared to the recent packages at just over $1 billion, but that's actually a lot of money. So it is a substantial amount of funding for this sector. So my read of the package is essentially to try and get childcare centres, early childhood learning capacity in our society, into the same space as schools are. That is basically fully funded and functioning so that when this is all over, they're ready to get up and go. Because at the moment, because a lot of them are privately run, they're getting people pulling out left, right and centre for the obvious health reasons. Some people are still paying, some people aren't, but they're risking losing staff. I think these are the stories we've been hearing. So the package today is just about financially shoring them up and keeping staff engaged. So the way I think of it is they're trying to make sure that that part of the education sector is operating on the same basis as the public sector, schools and so forth.
Yeah, because there is the danger that you mightn't get them back open.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, they're for profit. Well, they're private sector. They have to be able to fund themselves, which they have had a very good history of doing. But of course, this is an incredible shock, and I would imagine that there would be less than 25% occupancy at the moment if looking at what's going on in primary schools is anything to go by. And I've heard stories where people are having to keep paying, even though. Yeah, they don't want their child there. They're at home with them. And some people have pulled out. I mean, the risk is to jobs. So of course, these centres will not be able to pay if they're not getting revenues. So this removes that risk for them and ensures that they're up and running again when everything hopefully goes back to normal.
And it kind of fits in with the JobKeeper package that was announced earlier in the week. This is the biggest spending package we've ever seen, I think. Is it in time to save some of our economic furniture?
It certainly is. I mean, it's an incredible amount of money. It's, for 6 months, $130 billion. The Australian economy's total income for everyone in the economy, businesses, individuals, is about $1 trillion in 6 months, just under. So it's essentially 13% of GDP. The government is filling the hole that the shutdowns and lockdowns are going to create. So they're basically doing everything they can to make the economy is propped up as best they can. Very generous. It of course, is going to be open to, all these programs are always open to rorting. I hope, we all hope that doesn't happen too much. But there are also going to be a lot of examples of people getting it who don't really need it. But you can't target these programs too much because you don't have time to set it up to be targeted. They have to, by their very nature of getting them out there and happening, they have to be very broad-based. And so, $130 billion is the cost of that, and there's going to be some people who get access to it that don't necessarily need it, but there's going to be a much, much more people who really needed it. And of course, the main thing is keeping people connected to employers. And of course, the other concept of being making sure there's a basic income out there for all Australians.
Sort of keeping the wheels turning.
Keeping the wheels turning is going to be part of the objective. It is a fiscal stimulus. It is a macroeconomic stimulus. But I think the main thing is the human element of it is keeping people with a reasonable amount of resources in their pocket every couple of weeks, that they can pay the rent and feed themselves and all those sorts of things. It's not generous in that respect. At an individual level, it's only can be regarded as generous in terms of the scope of the package in totality. You know, I don't think anyone would say that $1,500 a fortnight is generous. Of course, if you're in regional Tasmania, it's a very different proposition to if you're living on in a city, Sydney or Melbourne. But of course, again, you're making it a flat number for everyone, and to try and make all the alterations that you'd need to make, and it wouldn't just be geographic, it would be very difficult, and there'd be a lot of questions of fairness then too. So yeah, it's comprehensive.
And are we going to be borrowing this from financial markets? And what if other countries are doing the same thing? Who ends up having the money to pay for all of this?
Yeah, so this is very important, and people shouldn't sort of worry about it too much. But essentially, the economic system is reasonably closed. I mean, it's obviously closed globally, and even to some extent in an individual country. But when a shock like this happens and people stop spending, the money doesn't disappear. You can have deleveraging and set off those sorts of processes of people having to sell things like houses or shares and repay loans, and people lose money. But putting that to the side, essentially is what's happening in whether you're an investor or you're a person who's maintained their job and their income, is you're sort of running the cash. You're putting the money in the bank. I think you'll find that the most investors are sort of quite concerned about equity, so they'll sort of maybe sell some and they'll hold cash levels rather than putting them into risky assets, or individuals won't be spending as much. And, of course, that means our banks are filling up with cash. If this persists, then they'll be the ones who buy those government bonds. There's also your natural investors, which are your superannuation funds. They'll buy the government bonds. But this is the key point, is that even if those bonds that the government issues to raise the money to pay for these programs can't be sold to other private investors, the Reserve Bank of Australia has the capacity to go and buy those bonds and make sure that they buy them at a good rate, i.e. an interest rate. The interest on these bonds is going to be extraordinarily low, maybe less than 1%. So it's not expensive money for the Australian government, and the Reserve Bank will be a backstop to make sure that the government gets its money. Now, this isn't printing money. This is simply providing liquidity to the government. The money will have to be paid back.
And is that part of quantitative easing?
It is quantitative easing.
It is, yeah.
So the announcements the Reserve Bank made a few weeks ago, which took the cash rate, their normal, the interest rate they normally target, down to 0.25%. Then they announced that they're going to target a 0.25% yield on the 3-year bonds. So they tried to sort of get away from the idea that it was quantitative easing then, that it was targeting a price in the market. And that had to be done through buying and selling government bonds. And that's what they're doing at the moment. But if the government has any trouble in getting their bonds away, issuing those bonds into the private market and raising the money, whether it's from a super fund or a bank or an overseas investor, then the Reserve Bank can come in and buy the bonds and take the pressure off the market. So it is quantitative easing. We haven't done it before in this country. We've always been able to fund our government. And look, the RBA might not have to do much. There could be a lot of demand for Australian government bonds out of international financial system, even from Australian banks and super investors.
There's been a bit of pressure today on the markets, thanks to the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. They appear to have, I guess, stopped the New Zealand banks paying dividends to their owners here in Australia. How is that affecting things?
Look, it's pretty minor. New Zealand's about the size of New South Wales, so, you know, not insignificant. But in terms of the Australian banks' operations, and different banks have different exposures. ANZ is the most exposed in New Zealand. ANZ in New Zealand is New Zealand's largest company. But the other banks aren't quite as big in New Zealand. But they're still just a quarter of the operations or even less. So, look, I don't think that this action by New Zealand can jeopardise the functioning of the Australian banks, the profitability, their capital. But what the New Zealanders are doing is they're saying, we're worried about the potential economic downturn that's coming. We're worried about businesses failing, that consumers don't pay their mortgages. And, of course, when that happens, it's a default, and the banks have to write that off. And that's costs money. And, of course, what the New Zealand authorities are doing is, rather than paying a dividend back into Australia or to any New Zealand investors, keep that money because you may need it in 6 months to cover the losses that you may see. So this is a very cautious Reserve Bank of New Zealand. And, of course, here in Australia, we've seen that our authorities, you know, they've been looking at this closely, but they're not doing it. I think what they said is it's up to the board and management of the banks to make those decisions.
So they don't appear to be very worried.
No, at the moment they're just keeping an eye on it. And the Australian banks are very strong from a capital and liquidity point of view. So you know, it will take a lot of losses for us to get ourselves to a position where the banks are worried about their capital, simply because they have to hold so much as part of the new regulatory world post the crisis of 2009. Look, it could play out that way, but I think if we got to a situation where the Australian banks were facing major defaults across consumers and businesses, that's going to be after this initial pandemic shock, because of all the things the government's put in place, that should be able to help manage those risks. That's why the banks in Australia have rallied. Their share prices have rallied since the wage subsidy was put in place. But if there is something nasty in 2021, next year, for example, then there could be a different story. But at this stage, I think we're, you know, I think it's probably prudent for the Australian banks just to manage their own affairs. And I think the New Zealanders are being a little bit cautious on this one.
Professor Warren Hogan, UTS Business School Executive in Residence, speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to On the Money throughout Australia on the Community Radio Network.